You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision. Your regularly scheduled program is unavailable at this time. Please enjoy this special broadcast on Aftersight.
Hello, you are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us today for Community Conversations. The following recording is intended for those who are blind, visually impaired, and print format disabled individuals. My name is Penn Street, and today for our community conversation, we have my husband, Moses Street, here in the studio with me. And Moses, do you want to say anything about yourself?
I'm the husband of Ben. I've been a photographer my whole life, portraits and events. Other than that, Penn and I have been together for 33 or 34 years. We're both starting to lose track.
The reason I wanted to talk today to my husband is I am blind and visually impaired, so I'm one of those users that we talked about in the beginning of this conversation. I've been visually impaired since I was 9 years old, and as I get older, I'm losing more and more vision. And there's a lot of us out there in the world that have spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, family members that are not blind or visually impaired. And so a lot of times people hear our stories, but we don't really get to hear their stories. So when we met, as I remember, Moses, 33 plus years ago, at first you didn't know that I was blind or visually impaired. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how long did it take you to realize I was blind and visually impaired, and what was that moment like?
I think it was our second date, and we were up in Estes Park, and we'd gone up to the Stanley Hotel, and it's dark, and the lights are on in the hotel, and Penn wasn't... Oh, she was like walking, acting cautious. And so, being a typical, non-thinking sighted person, I pointed to a window and said, "See that person in the window?" And she goes, "Yeah." And of course, I was pointing at something. I don't think I was even pointing at a window. And then I turned to her and I go, "You can't see." And she goes, "No." And that was the first moment. But it didn't, I don't remember it striking me strange.
Really? Yeah. That's good to know. I don't think that's true for everybody. And to be fair, in those days, I did have more vision than I have now, but I was still way beyond being legally blind. But I didn't really feel comfortable with other people knowing I couldn't see. I wasn't using a cane or definitely not a guide dog like I do now.
Yeah. And then she told me one of her tricks was when it got that she couldn't see, as the darker it got, of course, the less she could see. And she would either grab my hand and we'd hold hands, which I thought was romantic, or she would be slightly behind me, but really close when we would walk somewhere. And I just thought, I didn't think anything of that. I just thought, oh, she's following me.
And as Moses said, he's been a professional photographer for pretty much his entire adult life. And so his world is extremely visual, correct? I mean, isn't that what a photography is about? And how did me not being able to see affect you in because you are such a visual person, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're with this person that is not visual on any level.
Yeah. Again, a lot of things just about the, you being blind just didn't bother me in particular at all. The probably, I'd say more today than back then, is I'll get all excited about a picture and I'll want to show her the pictures. And I spend a lot of time on my pictures so that they look unique, the image itself. And I'll show it to her and I'll go, see how much better it looks? And she'll go, no, I can't see how much better it looks. Looks the same as before you spent 2 hours on it. And so that's frustrating.
It's frustrating because I can't appreciate
yes.
the art that you're doing now.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that impacts me too, is not being, you know, I see less and less, and I'm more honest about it now than I used to be.
Yes, much more.
I've embraced my blindness, as they say. What are some of the pros of having a wife that's visually impaired?
She can't see me.
That's a pro.
So if my hair is all messed up or I have a beard and if it's all messed up, she can't see that. I guess whether I'm... Well, that's a pro and con, is it doesn't matter how dressed up I get, I'm pretty much wearing the same thing and as far as what she's seeing. Pro. More a pro that you mentioned to me is I'm one of those people that... I love aesthetic beauty. So obviously you're up in the mountains and you're seeing beautiful mountain scenes. But it's the, when you're in the city, the suburbs, the strip malls, the box stores, the tacky apartment buildings they're building lately, those things are really disturbing to me because they're just flat out ugly. And so in my brain, we have created a really ugly place to live in. And so I'll start talking to Penn about that, and she'll go, I can't see it, so it's all good-looking to me. And so she's not in my choir on that.
Yeah, and I know we do a lot of hiking, and now we've gotten into paddleboarding and stuff, and there's a particular lake near Loveland that we like to paddleboard at. And I guess there's a housing development on part of it. And of course, I can't see it. And so I'm just out there. And in my mind, we're in the middle of nowhere on this beautiful lake. And then you'll make some comment about, oh, that's an ugly house.
Because I lived near lakes when I was young. And it was just all the really neat cottages and Victorian style houses that they had built around the turn of 1900. And so they were gorgeous and the beach communities were just really beautiful, the way they were laid out, the way they were built. And now it's just suburb house after suburb house and all cookie cutter. And so it's just like they trashed up the lake with houses. And she doesn't see that.
What about some of the cons, like some of the bad, or not bad, but just negative things about having a wife who can't see very good?
Well, it would be the number one is driving. And we've hit a point where things are scheduled, and so I know something's coming up. But anytime she's going somewhere, I'm going there. So it's working off of two schedules. And it's, oh, how would you put it? It's more if there's a surprise schedule, we're going somewhere, that's hard. That would be the number one. And probably the number two would be she listens to books at night, and it drives her crazy to wear earbuds or any kind of, what are they called?
Headsets.
And so her book's playing, and it's loud. And so for me to read it is really difficult. And then she'll fall asleep, and I can't tell whether she's fallen asleep and the book's still playing loud, or if I turn it off, she'll go, "Why'd you turn it off?" But other than that, there's not much. It's con-con. Yeah.
Yeah, we, like Moses said, we've been together 30-plus years, which I don't care if you're blind or visually impaired or not. That's a pretty big accomplishment to be with somebody for that long. But yeah, it definitely affects me mostly with your photography, that I really can't see it anymore. And that's really, really sad to me. But we, you know, we do a lot of traveling together, and I feel like, you know, that's awesome that we get to do that together.
Yes.
I feel like we share the housework pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yes, dead air. Yeah, well, it was partially because I was thinking of positives. And definitely the biggest positive is that as an artist, there's like photographers who just photograph what's in front of them, set up shots, that kind of thing. Then you have the artist, and the artist is always working on a concept. You're never just photographing a person for a portrait. There's always a message behind it, or a thinking behind it, or a concept behind it. And so Penn has pretty much, for the last 33 years, been a muse, because the whole blindness is just fascinating to me in so many aspects. So,
give us an example.
It was seeing the way, if you're walking with a cane, the way people treat you, which is really negative and extremely irritating to me. In the old days, when you could get away with slugging somebody who was not being appropriate, I would have been slugging people all the time. And so experiencing what I think of as extreme prejudice in public, we never know if we're going to get hassled going into a restaurant, get to sit where we want to sit instead of back by the restroom so nobody has to look at the blind person.
Yeah, I know you've definitely been there many times when, you know, rather it was, you know, people not wanting to seat us at a restaurant because of a guide dog, as well as going through TSA, which I know there's been a few TSA agents you wanted to punch out.
Especially that one time. The TSA was having a really bad day, and the short version of it was it escalated to the point that we thought we were going to be taken back to the little room and interrogated.
The special room.
Yeah. And thank goodness somebody came in and settled the agent down, who had to have been having a bad day because she was over the top crazy.
So I know that part of it sort of fascinates you with just human behavior.
Yes.
As far as like when I am using a cane versus using a guide dog versus just walking without the aid of either one of them. And and how that impacts the way I get treated. Do you think you get treated differently? Like, I know, for an example, Moses and I worked at the Telluride Film Festival for many years, and there was a man there, I won't name names, but he is from Boulder, but I won't mention his name, told Moses, kind of like patted him on the back and basically said, "Oh, you're just so brave how you take care of Penn." Now, that's a situation that I wanted to punch him out in. Not Moses, but the other guy. But do you get treated differently, do you think?
I don't think, because of the blindness. That one, that the story you just told, it was like he had just said a joke, and I didn't get it. And it wasn't until later that I thought, take care of her? Because I don't, outside of driving, I don't take care of Ben on any level. That was one I had to learn. Not telling Ben, just when we're out walking anywhere, doing a nonstop monologue of, "Oh, there's a hole there, there's a dent there, there's a curb there, we're coming up to an intersection, we're going across an alley, there's a car moving over there, don't walk now." It took me, I think, 20 years to stop doing that. And then I can tell that when we're around some of our friends, they do that big time. And it's actually irritating to me now. And then I get a little looks of, "What kind of husband are you? You didn't tell your wife there was a tree over there to the right." And for me, it's like, yeah, that's all you wanted to be doing, is working your cane or working with your dog, and have somebody doing a monologue that doesn't match up with the information you're gathering.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
It's like, Penn's not as bad now, but she was pretty much a backseat driver. And, so me telling her where everything is and what to do and when to stop is pretty much like being a walking backseat driver. And so I don't do that anymore.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. It's, I just thought of another negative that is, so for me, it's like, the main rooms that we live in. So like the kitchen, the living room, bedroom. Okay. Those rooms have to be spotless, because her office and my office are not spotless. And so it's, I pick them up and clean them up constantly. And it's taking forever to learn all the places that Penn wants her stuff if it's not laying on a table. And it drives her crazy. So that's one we're still working on.
Yeah, because that's pretty much right up there at the top for being somebody who's blind and visually impaired, when somebody moves your stuff and doesn't tell you about it. That's definitely a hard one for both of us. But after 30 plus years, we're still working on it. We don't have all the answers, but it's definitely been an awesome journey. And I'm looking forward to the next 3 decades. Hopefully we'll be as blessed as we have in the last 3. So Moses, I want to thank you for being my guest today.
It was a treat, actually.
This is the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us today for Community Conversation. My name is Penn Street, and we invite you to please, please stay tuned for our next program. And we will see you next time on Community Conversation.
There are many ways to pay for your groceries at Safeway, from earning cashback rewards to utilizing SNAP EBT benefits. Safeway accommodates a variety of payment methods, including Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express credit cards, along with most bank-issued debit cards. For those using SNAP EBT or EBT Cash, Safeway accepts these payment cards for both in-store purchases and online orders, available for pickup and delivery at select locations. However, it's important to note that cash, Safeway gift cards, Safeway Pay, personal checks, and other charge accounts cannot be used for online orders. Enhance your shopping experience with the Safeway For You Pass, available for free, or upgrade to the Fresh Pass, offering both monthly or annual subscriptions. These memberships provide points for grocery and gas rewards, along with customized deals. The Fresh Pass additionally offers unlimited free delivery, a $5 monthly credit for annual subscribers, non-expiring rewards, and extra savings on Safeway's exclusive brands. To join and discover more, download the Safeway app. Safeway provides delivery and pickup services in specific areas, so check the website or app and enter your zip code to see if these services are available near you. New customers can enjoy free delivery on their first order with a minimum spend of $30. For those paying with an EBT card, the process is streamlined in the Safeway app for a convenient shopping experience. Safeway also offers digital coupons that might not have been included in this recording. You can learn more about digital coupons at Safeway.com or on the mobile app. Safeway recommends using the latest versions of assistive technologies like TalkBack for Android, VoiceOver for Apple devices, and screen readers like JAWS with Firefox or NVDA with Firefox or Chrome for desktop use. For feedback or concerns about accessibility, please contact accessibilityfeedback@albertsons.com or call accessibility support at 877-635-4833.